admit that. I hope everyone wants it for good. But, I've never gotten away from community from where I was born. I own my birthplace, fortunately. Mm-hmm. First place of my mother, even. Mm-hmm. That's the farm, just over below North Hartford School. Mm-hmm. And on 165. But years ago, I moved over here first for my son to take the farm, and then my son-in-law, and now I still own the farm, but it's being operated by a partner farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, who were your parents? What was your name?
My mother was Annie Louise Wilson. I was a Wilson on the mother's side, and I Wallace Heath. I was Heath.
And were they from this area?
Yes, both of them. In fact, I say I own my mother's birthplace.
And
my father lived here nearby. Mm-hmm. In the Chuckamana.
And were they all both from farming backgrounds?
That's right.
And so then, where were you born?
I was born over there. Really on Route 624 is where I was born. Mm-hmm. It's the river goes north to Jason.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, that was
December 5th, 1896.
Oh. Do you remember about your childhood what it was like growing up on the farm?
Completely different than what it is today.
What
you might understand, most people know. Life is much tougher than it is today.
Mm.
And yet it was comfortable. I had a comfortable home, comfortable living. My father was involved in public things. Not that that's a part of the thing, but it so happened that he was county commissioner while he was living when I was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
That gave me the taste for politics. And so I've been persuaded that to be involved in politics, but I thought his experience was so distasteful. And I never yielded to it. I never held a political office.
Is that right?
Some folks very kindly insisted I should try.
Huh.
I've done a lot of voluntary work for the county, but they don't owe me anything for it. Didn't cost them anything.
Mm. Well, now, what was the farm like when you were growing up? What kind of things did you raise?
The farm in early days was on a much smaller scale. It was all so much of it was hand work, and also with the horses and mules and those kind of much smaller tools that you couldn't buy in as much less than it is today. But the crops were pretty much the same, except we didn't have alfalfa came along in my day. We had no alfalfa. We had clover when I started the farm, but we had no. I was married in 1918, and started the farm on the place that I still own. And we used about 6 head of horses and mules, for now we had no horsepower now, except for tractors. Now we use about 2 tractors.
Hmm. Well, now, what kind of crops did you raise?
Well, we were in dairy business.
Oh.
We've been in dairy business for 60-some years.
Hmm.
Selling milk wholesale to Baltimore City. At that time, we had a railroad and it went on the train. Later on, we have a creamery. We had a cooling station, we call it the Fowlsville, which is still saying, but not used it for a long time, and then up there. And then now it's picked up with a refrigerated tank truck taking it to the city.
What kind of cows did you have?
Well, I've never been in the purebred business. I started out with Jerseys and Guernseys for most of my early life, but puppies became so fat conscious that we've gone to whole science now, so we don't have to sip milk. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Market for high milk, high test milk is right into what people want. 2% or no fat milk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of relieved.
Was it a very hard day for your family to get up?
Oh, farming in my early days is by your hands, where it's pretty much by your brain today. It changed from your hands to your brain, but it was so much of it was handwork. And the labor demands of farming today are, oh, they have no comparison. I mean, we automated. And two people can do the work of four or five, so to speak, something like that. But the hours were longer then. I think people worked more by the sun than they did by the clock in that day. Now then, you talk about 8 hours during the day. The farmers can't operate by 8 hours a day in the harvest. They have to. After using the weather, they're much better than that.
Now, as a growing up as a child, were you assigned different chores and things that you asked to do?
Yes, I had a chore from the time, in fact, I started to milk cows when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and by hand then, of course, it's all machine work now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an amazing thing today. You see, when I live in the site of the school here, outside of school buses even, people are around killing and playing after school. I had a job to do as soon as I could get home. I was supposed to get home and change my clothes and be at the barn at a certain time. I think it was a good thing. I wasn't damaged. I was rather helped. I don't think young people know how to work today as well as I learned it. I came into it gradually, and that's not the matter of the discussion, but I think it was a great blessing. It's a great blessing to be trained to work. It is to be trained to know how to read and write and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to learn how, to some extent.
Well, now, what do you remember about the way things were on the farm? Was it, did you have a barn and close by, or could you just describe it a little bit for me?
Well, the barn that I came into as a farm, my first days of farming, was built by my grandfather in the mid-80s. And it was built primarily to take care of beef cattle. And at that time, we didn't have concrete floors, and the health requirements were practically nothing compared to what they are today. So the conditions of the building, while people seem to live with it, were very unsanitary from the standpoint of today's idea. But the barn, it's a general style of farm life hasn't changed too much over the years. It's a great life. I think that farm life is the greatest family life there is, because you're together, you're much more of a unit than you are when you're scattered in other occupations. Wife going one direction, her father and mother going different directions, so to speak, and feeling scattered. You probably get home for one meal a day, maybe not. I would like to, if I had my life live over again, I would choose the same thing. Very rewarding.
Well, now, what about, as you got a little bit older and time to go to school, you went to Sylvan?
A little one-room school. Stillman Tree over on Green Entry Road. It's still there.
Hmm.
Outside having The fourth child's in, it's just like it was when I left school. I left here in 1908 when I went in further. I think 1908 when Highland School was opened as a combination elementary and high school building. Mm-hmm. And I graduated when I was 15. Well, I only had 11 years for it, of course. I'm in the first 12. And I graduated with a great deal of appreciation. I went to school in my day. My parents had to help build a school so I could have it. So I went to school with the idea that it was a real privilege. And I know I got more out of it than some of our young people today.
Mm-hmm.
And it meant a lot to me. As far as I went, I don't think our agricultural education standards were so good in that day, and I decided I wanted a farm, and it was my father's idea that I had better opportunity on the farm than if I went to what they used to call a cow college, that's what they used to call it in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it very different to go from the one-room school to your consolidated school?
No, not as much because they weren't specialized today. I mean, we had one teacher had a number of subjects to teach, and I took them anyway. It was not, I can't speak of today, of course, I'm too far afield, but the program for high school in my day, I'm sure, was much simpler, and nothing compared to what we have. Today and all the various courses and various choices you can make today.
Hmm.
But it was a good basic education.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good course in mathematics, and one of my prides was as a graduate, I graduated with a precious. We used to have to take examinations. You didn't skip examinations regardless of your credits in school. And I was very pleased that I could graduate with a precious. Marks in mathematics and some subjects I like, incidentally.
Hmm.
But we had, in our later classes, we had the arithmetic and plane and solid geometry. We had gym and Latin subjects. We had a lot of subjects, but we didn't, I know that it's a different course today. I can't speak.
What
we had a smattering at least. I could use conversational German when I left high school. I would talk conversational German. I don't know whether to talk that today or not. It couldn't have been an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, of course, that was before any war. I got our German law was taken out of school after I left on account of the First World War. I don't think we've talked since.
Well, now, what was the community like to have built the school? Did they all pitch in, and how did they go about doing that?
The first consolidated town is the first consolidated high school in the county. In order to put it here, they had to close three of the one-room schools. The three here. It's the center of the three. There was one here, one east of us, and one south of us.
Hmm.
And that became the school. There was no transportation provided. We walked the school. Most of us walked several miles to school in.
Hmm.
And it was a great move from the community. The care that the community had, which my father had a part in, and many others, was that it was a agreeable with the county commission that we'd dig the foundation and build the structure up to ground level, and then they'd put the building up. So that's the way the school came about, the building came about.
So that, say, parents of children and things actually
Yeah, parents
actually
of children actually had a part of it. Then in addition to that, then later on, we brought the agricultural teacher, Mr. Earl Bay, which his name was a great thing in this community as an agriculture. We had the first agriculture course here in the county. Used first of all between Jarrettsville High School and Highland, and later on Mr. Bay, who lived right across the road here from me, Yeah, he's gone, passed away years ago. But anyway, he's worked with appreciated so much that the community bought the land, built this school out in a small building opposite the high, opposite school now. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you came in from 543, you're passing on the left. Community put that same building.
Hmm.
I think our community in my childhood days really invested more in education than I don't think it was equal to anywhere else in the county.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was this area like? I mean,
all agriculture. It was very aggressive. And with east of that, it's gone now, but as you came in to the church, there's a vacant lot over here, well, it's a house. We built a community hall. We had a community hall here where the Grange met. We had a Grange as an agriculture organization, and we built the community hall and used to have a series of lectures there during the winter season, educational lectures. And that was all put there by the community, too. People organized a stock company and bought so many shares of stock. First dollar had more power then. You could get a lot done for a few dollars with some community help too.
Well, now where would you go to buy the things that you might need? You know, food stuff and clothes and that.
Well,
type.
We had good stores. We had a community store here at what we call Highland. It's street now, but it was Highland. See the railroad went through here. And that putting in every station had a store connection with it because it was a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the super stores we have now in Bel Air, but we had all those roads. And this road here was but anybody came out either. The first road was 165, a piece of 165 over here goes from North Harford School to Powellsville. That was one of our first. That was built by hand labor. I saw that built without any tractors or anything, built with horses and mules and hand labor. Pick a shovel and scrape with the hand. Oh, and not many people know what a hand scraper is now, but there was a moving sponge of dirt. We used to have a hand scraper with a steam in front of it, and where you scrape up a scoop and turn it over, it's up someplace else. That's the way that was done.
Well, it seems that it's really kept the community spirit around here.
Yes, I think so. Of course, the community's completely changed. I live in the same place, but it's a different community. Completely different community. The relationships are pretty close. I expect when I started farming, I was putting in every adjoining neighbor would have some very close neighborly tie or a relationship. The farm that I have now is part of a big grant of land that came from several generations of the Wilson family back. I don't know. I never taken several traces back, but the Wilson indeed, I always told Scott the Irish, and I don't know, my great grandparents years ago came from Scotland. I don't know, heaps of the English names. But it has been a very fine community, we were written up when we were building the school and the hall and the community was on the move then, no doubt about that. Which takes something to get started if the heels turn. But that was the most fortunate for me, at least, for my generation.
Now, you were saying your father took a pretty active part in this?
Yeah, in that, yeah. And I said he was kind of commissioner. My father, he's gone long ago, died in the 30s, but my father became, I have to say, modestly very famous because he organized the Merrill Milk Coffee, which channels all our milk now. He was the first manager of it for years, died as its manager, and became famous both locally and nationally in the milk marketing business. He had quite a reputation. He used to work in Chicago and Washington as well as Baltimore.
Now, what did the co-op do?
Well, the co-op we still have, and most of the milk you get out of Baltimore City comes through our co-op now. Mine goes, the co-op handles it, but it goes out in a tank truck and it might go to half a dozen different places. I don't know, it may even go to Pennsylvania someplace, but it's a market arrangement where it's sent to where you can sell it.
Now, when you first started,
started a year after I started farming. I sold milk without the co-op for a while, and then, I mean, the fort was organized, and it's been operating ever since the latter part of 1918.
Now, how what would you do to get your milk to Baltimore first?
On the railroad. First on the railroad, then to the cooling station here at Starsville. That time he went out in a truck too, tank truck. And now the pickup is a barn. See, we have these big refrigerated tanks. You can keep milk now for down that's called most freeze. You keep it in the top 30. And it doesn't have to be picked up until every other day because it keeps the heat.
Now how would, let's see, to get it to the railroad station, how would they
we used to have, you don't see them. We used to have a light spring wagon. We called it a milk wagon because it usually hauled the milk. But if you know what I mean, it's the one-horse spring wagon. That would haul a half a ton.
And then
something like a pickup truck, except it was about, just about the same size. It was kind of space on it.
And then where you would take it to which station?
Well, wherever it was convenient because the railroad stopped at every one of these. It took about 2 or 3 hours to get from here to Baltimore because they spent more time picking up milk and stopping the station than they did on the travel.
Did you ever take the ride on the railroad with it?
Oh, yes. I've been on the railroad a number of times.
Now, what was that trip like?
Well, it was slow but sure. And you don't know anything about the Maryland Pennsylvania Railroad. You understand it, I guess. But you went through Bel Air. You know something about where the track is. Now it's abandoned track. But the track was crooked and steep grades and slow. But it served the community. It came into being, I guess, before my day. But I think somewhere in about the 1870s or something like that. But it was a big service to me because we both had freight service as well as the express service. I used to have a couple of carloads of milk. I had two cars to have enough to start at Della. Started Della and picked up from Della to Baltimore.
Why was this such a big area for dairy farming?
Well, it was the most profitable thing, dairying and still, but it required a lot of labor, and that's what's happened today. The labor requirements of dairy have become so great, and for a 7-day-a-week job, you can't employ a man to work 40 hours a week. You got to have the cow's milk Sunday as well as Tuesday and Wednesday. And people now have gone out, many of them, to grain farming, which is more automated, even though we have milk machines. But I heard that we used to then on an average size herd would be 15-20 cows. Now they went up to 200 in the county. So we have pretty as many cows in the county and smaller smaller number of groups as we did in that day. But we had little herds here. Every farm had a small herd of cows. Now it's a lot of scattered. I've never gotten that big. We operate on it with about 100 head, about 70 milking cows. And I'm an average. That's why I'm not a big operation.
And then you said that they started taking it to a holding shed? A cooling station.
A cooling station is where it went through real low refrigeration. I mean, of course, at that time, one thing I'll admit to tell you, for many years, milk had to be kept in a spring or in well water pumped around it in chains. I mean, we didn't have any electricity in our farm from our side. So milk wasn't too well refrigerated. You had to get it below 60 degrees, that was it. But now there's a lot of difference between 60 and 32, if you understand. So that brought in the cooling station where people could, you didn't have to touch your morning's milk. As soon as you milked it from the cow, you took it in and had it cool. But you had to take care of your night's milk, your evening's milk.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we had to use ice. We had to buy ice. And we had a lot of years. We had ice available for us. The milk plant where you could go buy it in this big 300-pound case.
Mm-hmm.
And stretch it around the milk.
Mm-hmm. And then it would be picked up by?
Well, you have to, the farmer has your liver to the station himself.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And you ask me how it would be milk wagon, I put in your own milk wagon, it's a one horse wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And trucks, you had trucks for it. Mm-hmm.
What was the roads like? Were they pretty?
Oh, they were pretty bad in winter time. Almost impassable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just before the snow, and we had to shovel it out ourselves. People had to work together. Several people were adjusted in, and everybody had to get out and help each other shovel out.
Hmm. What about the road to Bel Air? What kind of trip was that?
Well, Bel Air wasn't too important to any other sense.
Hmm.
I don't mean, practically nobody up here worked in Bel Air. I mean, they didn't employ half the Harper County at that time, like they do now, apparently.
Hmm.
So, Bel Air was a very small town then compared to what it is today.
Has this our area always felt a little bit like they were sort of forgotten in the, so far?
Well, I suppose we're very happily forgotten now. there's very little, we have a lot of homes being built here. We have some of our farms being developed here and there, scattered. But we don't live in the same precious community here. If you live in south of Forest Hill, I'd say from Forest Hill north, we have a lot less precious.
Mm-hmm.
A lot less congestion than we have down there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've noticed. It's been so quiet here, and there's not been a single car go by, and I'm so not used to it. It feels like a Sunday afternoon.
School's over now. They were just before you came, and the car's going there.
Now, how did you meet your wife?
I met her at school, although I wasn't interested in school.
Uh-huh.
I interested too much in school, but we were coming together in the community socially.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. And we had a very happy, she's been going now for 8 years. She was buried 8 years yesterday, incidentally.
Hmm.
But we had a very happy 55 years together.
Mm-hmm.
And they have four children, only one son and three daughters.
Hmm.
And I thought the son was, I tried to make a farmer out of him, but he felt called to the ministry. He was a Presbyterian minister, so which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I have just a young man whose father worked for me, and he came along with Ollie's father, who operates my farm together. We have a joint ownership in some of the property, or rather some of the personal property.
Well, now your Highland Church has been. Has that always been around here?
Highland Church was built in 1905, I believe.
Hmm.
And I came up here and I was very active. I joined at 12 years old, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
remember for many, many years. 70 years, approximately. And I've served most of the responsibilities and tried to set it experience based. I know what the denomination might be, but it's the eldership is the ruling elder, the highest position you hold in the church. Which is really a governing body of the church. I mean, the vestry, I believe, in some churches is the vestry, and I mean, some service of that. And I've always been active in the Sunday school. I was superintendent of Sunday school. I taught Sunday school. About third of my day, I'm not active. I still attend, but I don't hold any positions for any people over there.
And that's been a leading group in the community.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's different, no place else ever had it, I know of. I'm not sure I speak correctly. In the horse and buggy days, when we built the school, we had no transportation. But we did have people who had summer tires. Of course, we had some people summer tires, but no place to put our horses. So the church people, we have quite a little sized lot here now, the horse pasture out here. But where the horse pasture was, we had about 12 or 15 enclosed stalls where we built. We had a place to take the horse from the buggy and put it in a stall like you would in a barn, and keep the buggy under the shed where it would get storm safe. So the church, the people built that on their own, and some of them were sold to one another, and then the school patrons rented the renters from the whoever owned the city over the church owned. So this is the only place for Ireland where we had provided a shed for our transportation. That was our garage in those days, I guess. So the church had a place for the Eastern school as well. And of course, it's passed on now, and the school agent would not be there. That was after my day. My children used the shed. I didn't have any way of except walking on. Funny news is me, in society mark, I see at the playground here, they bring these children now in the busloads after busloads, and the first thing they do is take them out and let them play for exercise. By the time I got to school, I didn't need any more exercise. So the church has been a very much good part. Although it's been interdominated. So the relationship between all the denominations, the message, and the family message church, the Holy Cross, the Episcopal Church, the Roman Catholic Church up here, just above us. It's been a very pleasant community, an agreeable community.
Well, now, many of the things, like there's Highland Road and Highland School and Highland Presbyterian, how did it get its name?
Well, the story in itself, we lived in Highland community up until sometime just 2 years ago. There is a Highland yet remaining, a Highland in Howard County. Highland, Howard County, and Highland, Hartford County became a real confusion, especially for males. And so we had to, something had to be changed. So the government changed this Christian Street, Maryland, for the post office. And as long as the railroad, it was always Highland Station for the railroad with street post office. Of course, the railroad's gone now, so you never hear Highland mentioned except the Highland Presbyterian Church, the Highland School, retained the name. But it came about as a conflict of the name between Highland Hawkins, Howard County and Highland Hawkins County.
Why, do you know why it was originally Highland?
One of the highest elevation here in the county. I believe there's a spot out west of us that's still a bit higher than that, above sea level, but it's really one of the highest elevations in the county.
And then when they named it Street, I wonder where they got that
Street. We thought this was all street property. The lady who gave the church has a memorial window in our church, the street. It was Noble Office Street here, right here in the Zion Affair.
Mm-hmm.
And then it streets all around here, secret. It was a family that's pretty well disappeared. Family formation simply moved away. That's still pretty cool, right? Some of them still are known as STRWT and some just STRW.
Mm-hmm.
I think he, I mean, one, two, three, four. I think it's doing that for sure.
Would people, if they had to go into a town, would they go up to like Delta, Cardiff, that area?
Yeah, Delta was our shopping. So.
Mm.
That's where we had the largest store. I'm pretty much the largest store. Grocery-wise, we had very accessible life. We had stores locally here. I'm saying all these places, but now I have a good store. But we get more detail and better things. You have to sell the assets and larger, much larger stores.
Mm-hmm.
They're all been discontinued.
Well, I guess Delta is a pretty old community, looking at the building.
It came about because of the freight mine, and it was really a very accurate place. There were some four or five freight cars operating when I was a young man.
Hmm.
But they're all closed now.
Where were they mostly located?
The freight?
Mm-hmm.
A year of Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, south of Delta is a ridge. That's all a ridge of mining, of plate up there. Unfortunately, they had to take the plates down under some overburden to try to get it down. So when they opened the quarry, they called it, they were calling the quarry, they had to cover up. So they covered up as much as they uncovered.
Huh.
And then it had to be split by hand to a plate roof of a plate single. And it had to be stood by hand. There was a Welsh, supposed to be a Welsh state, and that was a Welsh town where a lot of it back then. And we just knocked it, had to go out of business later, we came so high. So it's all been closed up. The last thing we had there was rubberoid roofing time, south of Delta, north of Delta, down towards the river, put in a granule plant, that's all the ground, you know, the granules that you see on rubber roofing, you know, the red roofing and all that. Well, they were making piles of that for a long time, and that's finally disappeared.
And then the Welsh people that came here, were there many of them?
Yeah, we have the Welsh background, and we scattered through all of the community up here. Very wild.
Now, let's see, were the people that, as you were growing up, decided between being farmers and working in the mines, or was that not?
Well, it was just assumed that the Walton was a slave man, They weren't farmers by any means. I don't know if you ever looked at the farm.
Hmm.
I used to say, I don't know the any truth in it, that they wouldn't teach anybody else how to foot slave except for the Walton. It was a closed group.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure that's right.
Well, now, when you got out on the farm, did you raise like things to help your cows, or did you just concentrate on the dairy?
Concentrate on the dairy and raise all the feed I could to provide feed for the cows. That was my hay and corn and solid, went into solid. And it was all centered around the income, basically all came through the dairy business.
And let's see. You didn't have the regulation, I guess, that they have today.
Oh, not as severe. They didn't even have the equipment to test it. So with our business today is they have instruments that measure things in such instruments, just real tiny initial amounts. that they keep getting into it, and now what they can find in the trace of it, the trace of something else, they couldn't even discover.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like everything you read about putting in poison, you have to use enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very strict regulation to me.
Did you ever have problems in the earlier days with cows being sick?
Yeah. One of the problems I had 2 years after I started farming, we had to test for TB, and I lost every cow in the herd. Now, TB in a cow, I mean, it's not necessarily, it doesn't mean that she gives milk that has TB in it, but there is a possibility she could excrete the TB infection through her milk, because it all has to go. We can't see all our cows because they have to pass TB.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to sell it. They had to go to had to be butchered.
Mm-hmm.
But our regulations are far stricter than what most people will.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have trouble with a severe either winter or summer ever? You know, the weather being.
You couldn't meet the weather. I mean, you were more exposed. It's quite different to get a horse out and a buggy or a wagon or whatever it's called and deliver the milk out just to get in a closed cab truck and try to fight the elements and get it to. Well, we don't even have to do that now because it comes to farming. Of course, you pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so.
Were the cows let out mostly in the field?
They were handled pretty much the same way. Cows are supposed to be more accustomed to cold weather, and so they're more exposed today. And we have what we call loose housing. Our cows run out all winter now. We think that they ought to be kept warm. Well, we have been told that they have need to keep them warm under the higher and high, that keeps them warm. They don't need to be housed like humans. So there's a different, there's quite a lot of different ways to do it.
How would you get your information if you had questions or something?
Well, we've had extension service, and then I said we have agricultural teachers at the high school, the college. University of Maryland extends its information to the larger to the extension service now. That's where it gets its name. And always needs being held. The farmers are available. I kept on the farm.
Well, now, were most of them pretty receptive, or are there some that would prefer, like, to say, plant things sort of superstitiously, you know, little things that.
That's a privilege they want to, but I think if one farmer sees something else working well for his neighbor, he's not going to, and he's very likely going to adopt the same thing.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to take much chances on failing when he thinks that something will give him success elsewhere.
Uh-huh. Did you feel the effects of the depression around
here? Not as much in the dairy business as we did. Anything else, that's one of the great things that my father was able to serve in. So, as I said, he died in 38, but just before he died, that was one of the things he carried the burden of everybody, but he used to, we had a living income with milk. It wasn't profitable. We had a living income with milk, which we didn't have at that time in the Midwest. They were burning corn for fuel oil, and you couldn't sell wheat, but you could sell wheat. We were getting rid of our milk. And we got through it a much better than people who were depending on some of the other farm products.
Mm-hmm. Was that pretty well true of most people around the street?
Oh, I mean, that was true of this whole area.
Mm-hmm.
whole country here. You know, I'm not just local. I wasn't a local situation, but I was here the whole state of Maryland, as well as Pennsylvania and kind of stuff.
What about during the World War? Did you have shortages of things that you needed to use on your farm?
No, I think farmers have always been able to get to have a need pretty well met, because the food is one of the most important items in time of war, as well as peace.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, since I wasn't in the First World War, while it only lasted a few months after I was married, but I was operating a farm with one man, and that was considered to be my duty as well as rather than being in the army.
Hmm.
Where if I'd been one of a number of sons of somebody that had to leave the farm.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much of the things that happened during that time? You know, did people have to have things rationed?
Oh yeah, we had to have sugar and a lot of things. But there was black market. That's what I say about guns, not to get off the subject, but that if when people don't abide by the law, if they're lawbreakers, they break it more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
That's been true in wars of all seas. We had liquor in prohibition. Had liquor in prohibition, and you were smarter, you were sort of looked up to if you were in. Not that I ever used it or had any interest in it, but if you were smart enough to know where to get good liquor, you were, you know, in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And here.
Hmm.
We had lots of people who knew how to make it at the time.
Hmm. Do you think that the soil in this area is pretty good for raising guns, like your
corn? Oh, it is. It's one of the best that we have.
Mm.
We have a soil that is a clay loam, and it doesn't bake. It doesn't get real hard from drying out too quickly. It doesn't get real hard and hard to cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it does hold moisture pretty well. Now, you get on some other areas, especially on the eastern shore where you've got a great deal of sand,
mm-hmm.
It's so light there. That it dries out much faster than our land. It won't stay on the drought. Our land last year, for instance, we had a reasonably good crop here out here. Most of the places, because we have a tight soil that will stand conditions like that, a little better than ours.
Mm-hmm. Do you foresee the future of this area continuing about what it is now? Or do you think one day this will be in the middle of a very developed area? Do you think, you know, you're going to see continuing to farm?
Well, to predict a long future ahead, I wouldn't know. All this land down here is lost back and it's been wasted. People don't. You have to buy 5 acres of land to get a building site, so all I have is sites that people don't want. The Jersey Road is beyond me here.
Mm-hmm.
They want the frontage down there, but they don't want it back. And I used to have a nice pasture field here behind me. Now I've got just a bunch of garbage of all kinds of waste land.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. We're trying to control it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not being too well done, I don't think. But as long as people have the money to get out of the city, I guess they're going to try to, I think they're going to get out of here somewhere or other.
Mm-hmm.
What amuses me, though, as an old timer, as soon as they get here, they don't want anybody else to come. I don't mean to be personal about it at all, but some of our most aggressive people now is to tighten up the community. They're here, but they couldn't have gotten here if they had the community that they want today. They couldn't have gotten here either. But now they're here, now let's keep everybody else out. We don't want any more people here. The farm next to me is being developed over on way to me about a mile from here. There's some 15 houses on the road now. I didn't object to it. What do you use? I didn't object to it because even though I think it may change from my water situation, it may concentrate water and make some runoff on me, but there's much I could do about it.
So I can see why people would like to live around here because it's so beautiful.
You think so? You think any more than part of town? Well, the whole northern part of town, you think. Of course, the fourth district over there, Jericho Way, has been invaded, we'll call it, for a better time, has been invaded more than any place else because it's that much close to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have acquaintances that live up in Pennsylvania, up here 5 or 6 miles north of me, that are still getting to Baltimore every day, winter and summer.
Mm-hmm.
They get up 5 o'clock in the morning and take off from Baltimore and see what ice and snow and all kinds of conditions. You bet work in West Baltimore, the man across the street works at Bethlehem Steel right now. And then here, right here. You know, it's easy to tell them in the wintertime, daylight. Of course, most of my life, after I got started in farming, got established, most of my life has been spent away from here. I mean, it's something else. I have farmed plus something else. That's been mine, because I've been expecting so many other things. I was managing the farm all the time, but I had some responsible stuff that I could do. If I was there night and morning, then I had to spend, I could pretty well carry on.
Mm. Was farming a demanding kind of occupation, do you think, of your time and
I said the comment that it was more a matter of hands and manual strength in my early days, but the more now management of more than a case of management. Brains, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But we took brains and minds in both times. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I'm not one to paint farming as it's what you make it, but I don't think you have to be a slave's wife. I don't buy that. My life wasn't that. I was either too lazy or for some other reason. I had a good life with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to raise a family of four. But, and I was more fortunate than others. My father helped me, but some people didn't, but I had some help. I'm mindful of that. I'm not sure what you're interested in. I did a lot of things outside of the farming, which I have some satisfaction enjoying in my
head. What was that?
Well, from a county standpoint, I started with a lot of committees, it was all voluntary work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting with a pet. One of the early committees, I don't know about the war, we had an agriculture advisory board to the they were supposed to help the draft board to recommend a refinement, amend refinement. I worked for that for a while. That was one of my public duties in the year. And of course, recently, I was asked to serve on the Metropolitan Commission. I was chairman of the Metropolitan Commission for the county before we went to council government.
Now, what was the Metropolitan Commission?
Water and sewage. We were the ones put the sewage around and all in the county. They had never got it finished yet. The council took it over. But we put the sewage and water in all around it. We took all the Edgewood system. That's for the first we had. And then we put water and sewage, put it all around Bel Air, suburban Bel Air, and all around Rockaway. That was a voluntary system we didn't pay for. Probably my most interesting part of my life was joining an agricultural organization. I came into the Farm Bureau organization when I was a young man. I served as county as president, and then went on to serve the state as president of the state organization for 8 years. And then I had the privilege of being a director of the American National Organization for 8 years, which was a great experience. And I had that time I was involved with the national affairs and leading with good folks all over the country. And then I was also a director of Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and president of it for a while, still a president emeritus of it, Mr. Gentleman. I was director of the CMT Telephone Company. And that was under voluntary with him. But I was asked to serve on that. I've been involved in banks ever since my 30s. I still am a director I've been a Delaware Bank, of the Southern Pennsylvania Bank. I'm still a director of it. I was president of the Delaware Bank until we merged in with the regional organization. So I spent a good bit of my time as other things I could mention. Yes, but that's been my life as much after I got organized. Was something very attractive to me, and I did spend more time on those things than I did go back on. It's been very pleasant life for me.
Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of the Farm Bureau?
Well, it has some of the same units as the labor. It's not a labor union, it's a voluntary organization. I mean, we invite people to join us, and we encourage people to belong, but if you want to farm without being a member, that's all I ever want. We don't believe in compulsory organization. I think that's terrible. That's modern slavery in my book. I think right today we have modern slavery in some of these labor unions. Because you can't work if you don't get a job. That's the issue, of course. You just like to work thing. Why do you work on a job without being a member of the organization? Well, Farm Bureau is not that way, but it's an organization to promote the well-being of agriculture. Well, for instance, like the issue we didn't win, but the issue of whether we should embargo grains of Russia. Mm-hmm. We think it's a failure. We think we suffered by it. We tried to tell the government that it wouldn't work because they go someplace else and buy it just the same. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of money out of our pockets as farmers who grow corn and grains. So that's something I thought it's well organized. We have a county organization, and the counties go together and make a state organization, the states go together in a federation, they call it, and make a national organization. Mm-hmm. It's the largest here, I mean, it's the largest organized group of farmers in the country. It's on a family basis. We have asked the man to join, which is sort of it's a family farm, and everybody in that family belongs to the organization. So it's been a very, they've been good folks. I mean, they're not a bunch of saints, I'm not arguing that, but they've been have been people of moderation. They haven't been, they never would vote to strike. I mean, they, they think that there's so much better way of doing things than some of these methods that our labor friends use, right? We can't see that. But, it's, given me an opportunity to broaden my experience a lot. I really appreciate it. I'm also still, I'm still the director of an insurance company, or a mutual insurance company we have here in the state. But I'm not too busy now like I used to be. My church has been one of my greatest interests. I still, my son being a Presbyterian minister, I still go to the national meeting. I plan a couple of weeks to go to the national meeting of the Presbyterian Church at Meatball or something. We do it, this is just a, we're interested in what goes on, but we don't, we go without any responsibility, so it's sort of a little vacation we take each time. We plan to go this year. But I've been very close to the church, and I appreciate their kindness and suggesting my name. So I didn't know anything about it. I don't know whether I've given you much of any good for you.
I think you followed it a lot from what you said, how your father was very active.
Yeah, that gave me, of course, stimulated my interest. I saw what it did for the milk dairy business. The dairy business, our cooperative put millions of dollars in our pocket. Not that we robbed anybody, but I mean by just having things organized and working by a good system, where the milk could find a market where it was needed. I mean, places where it was wanted, where it wasn't wanted. That, it's just bringing in a good organization into the whole thing. Makes a big difference whether somebody wants what you have to sell or whether they don't want it.